and security agents and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Okay, welcome to Rock the Boat Radio on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And it is listener supported, and there are many ways to donate. So please donate what you can to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, so we can stay on the air. Now, we have a huge problem, and most of the people have been made so stupid that they don't understand anything, and that's really, really unfortunate, very unfortunate. And the whole idea was the school system, which came from the Prussian system. And it's not a public school, it's a corporation. And all the teachers do is lie to the students. And the idea is, from the Prussian system, of which our people went over there to study it and brought it back here, the idea is not to question or challenge so-called authority, be it the principal, vice principal, or the teacher. And when I was in school, when I questioned and challenged a teacher because they were really stupid, they just read whatever's put in front of them to read. And I always noticed that the students were always afraid. Most of the students were afraid that they might get in trouble if they questioned or challenged so-called authority, which is not authority whatsoever. But the problem is that when a child today, used to be 14 years, now is 13 years, from kindergarten to grade 12, not to question or challenge so-called authority, which is not authority, a bunch of lying deceivers. But the idea was to teach the children not to question, not to challenge. And unfortunately, when the students get out of school, they remain in a childlike mindset. They're not adults. Any idiot can come up to you and say, you have to do this or you have to do that when you're an adult. And they just do it. But that was the whole idea of the school system, was to screw the people over. Now, when our forefathers came here, they came here to build us a new house. Luther woke them up. And I don't think Luther would have ever understood it, but his father, Germany was part of the Roman Empire, and his father wanted him to become a lawyer. So he went to lawyer school, and that woke him up. He understood the fraud of the legal club, which is not law. The legal club harms everyone. And law, it's against the law to cause harm to anyone, but the legal club causes harm to everyone. And so when our forefathers came here, and then in 1791, the legal club showed up, and Britain, which was part of the, worked very closely with the Roman Empire, because both Britain and Rome were empire clubs, wanting to control everybody and everything. And then Britain created the Chartered Hudson's Bay Company, a corporation, the East India Company, the Plymouth Company, Virginia Company in the United States. And when the legal club got here, they put in courts and jails and told our forefathers what they could and couldn't do. But our forefathers were wide awake. And they basically just told the Hudson's Bay Company to shove off. You don't have any authority over us, which is true. The corporation doesn't have any authority over you, but it's all about fear and benefits. And our forefathers, who worked very hard and wanted to build us a new house out from under the boot of tyranny. They didn't have any power tools, they didn't have any vehicles, but they worked very hard to build the villages and the towns. And then all they had was wells and outhouses. And then the benefit people came in and offered sewer lines and water lines. But you have to incorporate your town, which took the town away from the people. And then later on, they offered our mothers benefits, a check every month till the child's 18, a free education, and if your child gets sick, you can go to the hospital, which is another corporation, because the legal club created all the corporations to feed off of the people, which causes the people harm, which is against the law. And we have to fix this. Now, if I was the Prime Minister of Canada, this isn't hard to fix. The first thing we have to do is unincorporate our towns, villages, and cities. And then we have to unincorporate our people who were incorporated into the corporation. And once that's done, the corporation doesn't have any power anymore. You, the people, look after your towns and your people. just like our forefathers came here to build us new towns and villages. And then that gets rid of the UN and gets rid of the World Economic Forum and all the players, because they're all players. They all sold their souls for power and money for themselves. And they don't give a damn about the people. Not in any way, shape, or form do they give a damn about the people. But the people are supposed to care for the people. And now, when I was a child, we knew basically everybody in our neighborhood. And the neighbors were always working with the people. But now, most of the people don't even know their damn neighbor, because they've been indoctrinated. But we have to get rid of these liars and deceivers. When I talk to the students, they finally have woken up. And they understand that climate is a fraud, COVID is a fraud, which they are, but it's used to fear the people. And just like the UN and the World Economic Forum signed an agreement just before COVID came out in June of 2019, and then they said that they were going to use climate and COVID as the trigger to reset the world. Meaning they're going to lock everybody down. There isn't going to be any money. It'll all be digital. And they will control everything. Now you have the right to do whatever the hell you want, unless you cause someone harm. And the whole idea is not to cause people harm. But the legal club causes everybody harm. And we have to get back to this. Now, Sheila McFarlane, who ran in Guelph as the mayor, put a piece up here. The destroyers of civilization, they are the destroyers of civilization. The Century Magazine, 1928, January. A real case against the Jews. One of the points out the full depth of their guilt. Marcus Eli Ravage, a Jewish writer of the Rothschild family. You have not begun to appreciate the real depth of our guilt. We are intruders. We are disturbers. We are subverters. We have taken your natural world, your ideals, your destiny, and played havoc with them. We have been at the bottom, not merely of the latest great war, but of nearly all your wars, not only of the Russian, but every other majority revolution in our history. We have brought discord and confusion and frustration into your personal and public life. We are still doing it. No one can tell how long we shall go on doing it. And that was in January 1928. And they created the wars in order to move their agendas forward. And now They're using needles to move their agendas forward. It's all about benefits and fear. And we have a duty, just like our forefathers understood their duty, we allowed ourselves to be suckered again. And when our forefathers told the Hudson's Bay Company to shove off, you don't have any authority over us. Then they got back to England or Britain and said, these people aren't listening to us. We understand you started a legislature, parliament. How's that working out? Great, they don't get it. Well, you better send that over here because they're not listening to us. And who created Canada? Which is just another corporation, another chartered corporation. Who created Canada? The legal club. And the lawyers, liars, deceivers, and the Freemasons. And John A. MacDonald was a lawyer, liar, deceiver, and a Freemason. And if you look up in etymology, if you look up devil, you'll find parliament. And down below that, you'll see demon. And if you click on demon, you'll find democracy. But it's not democracy, it's demonocracy. And we have to change this. And it's not difficult to do so. There's a hell of a lot more of us than there are of them. And just like our forefathers told the Hudson's Bay Company to shove off, we have the same capacity to do that. But most of our people are not awake, not like our forefathers who came here who were totally awake. But through the school system, the children are taught not to question or challenge so-called authority, which is not authority. And then when they become adults, any idiot can come up to you with a piece of paper and tell you that this came through the legislature and you have to do this or that. And they just bow down to it because their whole school system was about fear. I don't want to get in trouble. And we have a duty to wake up our people, just like Luther woke up the people. We have a duty to wake up our people. Now, this is totally ridiculous. I saw a sign on someone's front lawn saying that we can't allow the public health care system to be privatized. So I stopped there and I rang the doorbell, and then I noticed that the garage, back garage doors was open, and nobody answered the door, so I went around the garage to the backyard, and there was a woman standing there, and didn't have a clue that Canada is a corporation. And then I guess she called the cops, and I wasn't being rude or anything, and two cops came to the house and said that I'm going to get charged for trespassing on the property, and I just told them the property doesn't belong to the people. The land belongs to the corporation. And I had a little chat with the cops and told them that you can't do what you think you can do. And I haven't seen this trespassing ticket yet. And I don't expect to see it. But we're the power. We are the power. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, I wish everybody would read this particular book, The Slow Poisoning of America, by John E. Erb and T. Michelle Erb. And it's online. And The Slow Poisoning of America. Because almost all of our food is toxic now. And who did that? The scientists. And if you go back to the French Revolution, what was birthed out of that? The two-party system. The divide-and-conquer system. Because a divided nation can't stand. And we've got so much division now, it's off the charts. And people are all in these little groups. But they're not working with the people. Which is really unfortunate. Because we're supposed to work for the people. For the benefit of our people. But The Slow Poisoning of America, they have a graveyard here. With a tombstone with both the American and the Canadian flag draped over the tombstone. And there's an awful lot of stuff in here from Canada. And it's really unfortunate. But our food has been poisoned, toxified, and it makes people sick. But it's all about the money. They don't give a damn about the people. It's all about the money and the power. And they make the people sick. And the teachers don't speak the truth. And the doctors don't speak the truth. Because if you went to a doctor and you were sick, and they would tell you that the food is all toxic now, and it makes people sick. But they don't say that. They just write you a prescription for the pharmaceutical companies. It's all about the money. Now, here's a guy. This book is a really good book. And I wish everybody would buy the book, The Slow Poisoning of America, which came out in 2003. And I've said this before, but it's really good. Because the man, John E. Erb, he believed that fluoride was good for the people because he was indoctrinated into it. Because the media was telling y'all and the teachers and everybody saying that it's really good. But his wife, whose daughter, when she was four, I think, got fluorosis and basically poisoned. But his wife went to work and finally woke up her husband. And on page 5 here it says, I had finally seen enough. The plethora of articles, news releases, books, and websites that Michelle inundated me with broke through my indoctrinated brain. The fog lifted from my mind. I was able to see clearly the institutional and governmental system that was actively denying and burying the facts of the dangers of fluoride. Now, like I said, there's a whole pile of information in this book. And I wish everyone would go get the book, read the book, and then hand it to your family members or your neighbors. So they understand that everybody's being poisoned. And that's not a good thing. Dr. J.W. Only, a specialist in MSG research at the Department of Psychiatry, Washington University School of Medicine, discovered that MSG in the diet of pregnant primates caused brain damage in the offspring. Dr. Only has since continued to expand on his research and the effects of MSG on subjects and discovered that the human food supply is a source of excitotoxins. They can damage the brain by one type of mechanism to which immature consumers are hyper vulnerable, or by the mechanisms to which adult and elderly consumers are particularly sensitive. Making our people sick and then being put on pharmaceuticals. Researchers at the Department of Psychiatry, Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, use proton magnetic resonance to compare normal children's brains chemistry to that of ADHD children. After measuring a number of chemical reactions in the brains, they discovered that the only difference they found in brain chemistry between ADHD and normal children was the elevated glutamate levels, which is the MSG. And there's a lot of stuff at the bottom of the pages of interesting stuff. But, you know, the autism and the ADHD has really gotten crazy now. You see more autistic children than ever before. But it says here that pregnant women are becoming more and more concerned about what they are putting into their bodies. They watch their fat intake, cholesterol intake, sugar intake. But no one has ever told them to mind their glutamate intake. Considering the importance that doctors now place on expectant mothers to take just the right amount of vitamins and folic acid, one would think they would consider carefully what large amounts of brain-altering amino acids could do. There are about 20 amino acids that the human body uses to make proteins. These proteins form all our organs and tissues, and especially the brain. Everything an expectant mother eats can also be consumed by the child growing with her and her. This is especially true in the first trimester of growth, when the placental barrier that regulates the flow of toxins to the fetus is not fully developed. The placenta barrier is designed to allow amino acids into the fetus to make the body tissues and organs. Researchers have found that not only do amino acids cross the barrier to the baby, but they also tend to collect there so that the concentration of these chemicals is higher in the growing fetus than in the mother's blood. And this is very, very unfortunate that we allow our food to be poisoned and don't do anything about it. But this is all about the indoctrination. You're not supposed to question or challenge these idiots. But it's time we do it. The people of the United States and Canada are victims of an attempt to poison them. Every year, more and more people are being stricken with disease and illness. Diabetes, Alzheimer's, obesity, autism, attention deficit disorder, migraines, epilepsy, and schizophrenia are ailments whose dramatic increase jeopardize the health of the entire country. Distress does not come from terrorists or from hostile countries, but from within our very own borders. Embark on a journey to discover the reasons why, in a time of medical wonder, our people are suffering in record numbers. The findings of almost 200 medical research studies will guide you to the poisons behind these illnesses. If you are content to live in ignorance, do not open this book. But if you want to know the truth, read on. And it's all about truth. You know, if a teacher speaks the truth, he's going to get fired. And when I went to the school a week before school started at the high school, and I went to the high school and I talked to a teacher, and I said to the teacher, stop lying to the students. And I thought he was going to get angry, but he didn't. And his response blew me away, because his response was, yes, I know we're lying to the children. But if he speaks the truth, he's going to get fired. If a doctor speaks the truth, he's going to get fired. If someone on council speaks the truth, he's going to get reprimanded, just like the student who would question or challenge a teacher in school. And we now have these integrity commissioners who will go after the counselor who spoke the truth. And if the counselor speaks the truth again, he's going to get removed. So you're living in a lie and propaganda and indoctrination. And we have to remove ourselves from that. And in the later 1700s, after the French Revolution, they had the Enlightenment, which is the darkening. And they said they were going to replace the priests, who you couldn't question or challenge. And they're going to replace the priests with the scientists. And the priests were in a narrow band, and the scientists are all over the place, including political science, which is really ridiculous. And our politico doesn't give a damn about our people or our nation. And they just keep pushing the crap upon us. And we should actually have them all arrested, because they're harming the people. But we have to make things right. We're the second largest nation in the world. We've got more resources per population than anywhere in the world. But we have absolutely no control of anything, which is absolutely ridiculous. We have the World Bank, who just pushes the button anytime they want and cranks up the interest rates, which crashes things. So we have to become an independent country. We can still deal with other countries, but we have to become independent for the betterment of our people and our nation. And we have to teach the people so that they become awake, just like Luther did. He spent his entire life waking up the people. And he called out the Catholic Church, he called out the popes, he called out the Jews. He actually wrote a book about the Jews. And he called out the Muslims, because apparently it was created by the Catholic Church. And everybody's been lied to since they were born. And I don't know why anybody would put up with that. But they taught the children in the schools not to question or challenge so-called authority. And, you know, I have some of the students tell me that they're trying to wake up their parents because they don't seem to understand anything. And they're having a difficult time with it. And I did that when I was about 12 or 13. I sat down with my parents and I was trying to explain things to them. But they didn't want to know about it. Canada is the greatest country in the world. No, it's not. Just another piece of garbage that we don't control. And we have more resources than anywhere on the planet. We got $33 trillion dollars worth of assets. And we need to make our own bank so that we're not controlled by the World Bank and become independent for our people. And we're being taken down right now. And we have to put our foot down, just like our forefathers told them to shove off. And when I was in Edmonton, I came home and turned on the news one night. And here in Pontiac County, just across the Ottawa River, they passed the legislature that they had to use French signs. But Pontiac County is about 50% English and 50% French. And when the administration came into the town, Shawville, Quebec, our forefathers just told them to shove off. Just like our forefathers told the Hudson Bay Company to shove off. And so they went away and they came back and they said, okay, you can use little fonts on the signs in English and huge fonts in French. And our forefathers just told them to shove off. And then the administration came back a third time. And most of the community came out. And this is about the power of the community. One or two people can't get it done. It's about the power of the community. And the old men came out with walkers, and the young mothers came out with baby buggies, and just walked the administration to the edge of town and told them, don't come back. Problem solved. And it's all about solving the problem. That's what it's about. Now, the other side, they create a problem, create the action, reaction through the media to fear the people to get to their solution. And we're supposed to be the solution, not them. And we are the solution because they don't have any authority over us. But the police, was the police job, protect the corporations and hand out tickets when you didn't cause anybody any harm. Now, my uncle was a cop way back in the day, and the chief kept telling my uncle to write tickets. And my uncle kept telling the chief, these people didn't cause anybody any harm. But it's all about the revenue streams for the corporation. And that is absolutely 100% wrong. And we, the people, are the power, not them. There's a lot more of us than there are of them. But most of the people got suckered and screwed over. And they don't get it. They think they just have to bow down to so-called authority. The same thing, you know, when I talked to that chief up near Hudson's Bay and the province was going to put a mining company in their district, and some of the guys said no, and they got thrown in jail. But then, finally, the community came together and put their foot down and said no. We did not consent to this. And that's the whole big ticket there. Consent. Because the corporation, which is not a government, can make any rule or regulation they want without the consent of the people. And they just keep rolling over you. But the people, the native people, finally brought their community together and put their foot down and said, no, you're not putting a mine in our district. Because we did not consent to it. And then the mining company is going to sue them for $30 billion. But they just put their foot down again and said, no, ain't going to happen. And then the province wrote the mining company a check for $5 million, of which we're on the hook for. So it's all criminal. And why you want to live in a criminal world is beyond me. And we all have a duty to those who come after us. And we have to fix our nation. Once we remove the corporation from our communities, and once we become non-incorporated, the people, the corporation doesn't have any power. Absolutely zero power over the people or your town. And then we can get back to reality. We can get back to being men and women in law, because the legal club created the legal fictional person, which is just a fantasy. And I've said this before, when we buried my father, I was really pissed. Because after we buried my father, I went to look around the tombstone. And was my father's name on the tombstone? No. The legal fictional person, the all-cap name. The asset slave of the corporation. And the cemetery is part of the municipal corporation. And so my father was no longer an asset slave of the corporation. And if you look around in the graveyard, in the cemetery, everybody's name is an all-cap name. It's not the name of your loved one. They just do this in order to screw the people over. And they don't give a damn about the people. Not in any way, shape, or form do they give a damn about the people. And all of these politicians, the teachers, the doctors, your municipalities, are all working for the other side. Meaning they don't give a damn about you. Not in any way, shape, or form. And once we incorporate our towns and ourselves, then guess what? You won't be living on property. You'll own the land that your house is on. Because way back in the day, in the king days, the legal club went to the king and said, you know, we come up with this new idea and we can make a lot of money on these properties, on these houses. And the king said, well, if I sell the land, I won't be the king. And they said, no, we come up with this new thing called property. You always own the land, but we come up with this thing, property, and we can tax them and make money when they sell the house. And that's a long, long time ago. And it's still going on today. Now, I talked to several heads of the real estate boards, and the one lady I talked to about three times. And in the end, she agreed. She said that real estate is 100% fraud. That's what she said. But I doubt if 50% of the realtors know it's a fraud, because they were taught to not question or challenge. So, because it's not real estate, it's fantasy estate. They created property and put you into their fantasy world. And it's time we leave their fantasy world. They've killed so many of our people in the wars and with the vaccines that and the toxins in the food. Why would we put up with this? Why? It makes absolutely zero sense. We, the people, are the power, not the corporation. And I was really proud when I saw the thing in Mexico, which is still a corporation. Incorporated everything. But same thing going on here. The municipality will bring in an outside entity to use your resources. And down there, town of 20,000 people in Mexico, and the municipality decided that, and the council decided that they were going to bring in an outside entity, which they make money on, and they gave them the right to clear cut the bush, which was the main resource of the people in that town. And some of the men went out and talked to them, and they disappeared. I guess they got killed. And then the ladies went to work. Because the men are so weak now, it's absolutely pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. But the women kept working and working, and they weren't too impressed with the men. And but eventually the men woke up. And the men went in and throughout the administration, throughout the council, throughout the police, because just the same thing in here in Ontario, the police don't come from your town. And they didn't come from their town. So they created a new council out from under the boot of tyranny. And they created a new police force from their people in the town. And there was so much drugs, just like everywhere else in Ontario or Canada, drugs everywhere. And the police don't let any drugs into the town. And they had lots of murders and rapes and drug problems and all this stuff. But they don't seem to have that now. And the town is back to being a community where they care for each other, not listening to the council or administration telling them what they can and can't do. Do whatever the hell you want to do, so long as you don't cause anybody any harm. I see we're just about to break time now. But they still have control of their community, and they took over it in 2011. And they still have control of it. And I see some people talk to me that they say that some of the people in some of the towns out west are thinking about taking over their communities, which is what we got to do, because we can't allow them to continue to tell you what you can and can't do. So we have we have the power to change things out, and we have to change it out, because we have a duty to those who come after us. Some of the students don't see any future whatsoever for them, because they don't want anybody to have any future. They want everybody locked down, tracked, and so on and so forth. So we gotta wake up our people. I hear some music now, so we're going to go for a break. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us.
You don't need to expect us.
We're already here.
We're already here.
Don't miss the Crip Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Walk the Boat with Ron Stevens, only at freedomslips.com.
Okay, welcome back. Again, I'm going to bring Chris in here. I wish Sheila was still on. But he's down in Kingston, and they're screwing that town over too. And got you, Chris?
Hey, Ron.
How you doing, bro?
So I have to shut off the live broadcast.
Kingston. Okay. Down over too.
Ron,
we got you.
Do I still have you?
Yep. You sound good.
Yeah, I have to go back. I'm not good with computers.
Yeah, everything's good now.
There's no echo?
Nope. So how's Kingston doing? You still got you?
You still have me.
Yep.
There's a delay, and then there's an echo, and I'm trying to figure that out.
No, there's no echo.
Oh, not on your end?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I'm getting it here.
Well, it's not here.
Okay. I apologize. I'm a total idiot when it comes to computers.
Well,
but I listen to you live, and then when you call, I'm hearing your and my voice with me, and then I'm hearing the lag, which, you know, the 30-second delay or the 15-second delay.
No, everything's good now.
Three-piece. It is. You must have fixed it on your end.
Absolutely perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, you know.
There's,
You were mentioning... I forget. Now, that confused me. You're talking about the police and how they've been corrupted. You didn't come out with it that way, but that's basically...
Well, they're corrupt.
Yeah. Well, you know, in San Francisco, and this is live news on mainstream media, San Francisco, they are allowing non-American citizens to become cops.
Exactly.
Isn't that scary?
Yeah.
Is that an invasion or what?
Well, it's a war.
Yes, we are at war.
You know, it's a psychological war that they are putting upon us.
No, it's not psychological. They're doing it physical now.
Yeah.
You know? When I saw that this morning, I went, holy snap. This is, you know, you weren't born in this country. You have no affiliation with it, and you don't like the white race. And we're gonna give you a badge and a gun and a taser and send you out.
Well, it seems that they don't want the white people.
Kind of appears that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not getting any better at this point.
No.
Yeah, no. But that was amazing. Like, because they had strict rules. You had to do, you know, two. Well, here in Canada, if you remember, you used to have 2 years of college, 6 months of training before you could become a police officer. But now in San Francisco in the United States of America, they need cops. So you don't need a passport. You don't need nothing. You just, you know, show up and, we'll give you a badge and a gun.
Well, I saw that same thing here in Canada. That you don't need to... go they're talking about just bringing in people and just turning them into cops.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. You know, it's our nation, and you're bringing in other people and turning them into cops who are going to take down our nations.
Yes.
Yeah. And we can't put up with that
the
shit.
The Kalergi plan.
Yeah, we can't put up with that.
For those that aren't familiar with the Kalergi plan.
You know, people have got to learn to put their foot down and say no. Like when I had those two cops come here the other day, and they were going to give me a ticket and for trespassing. And I just told them, no, not going to happen. And I haven't seen the ticket yet. If people put their foot down, You know, that one lady, that I've said this several times, but when they told me that I didn't need a building permit at the municipality, and I put a website up and had all kinds of people stopping me and pulling me over in the car and asking if they could use that to sue the municipality. But my favorite one was that one lady who was in her late 50s. I was getting a coffee, and she says, "Is that about your house?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "I have never done anything like this in my life before. But once I read what you wrote, we're not builders. We're just renovating our farmhouse. One comes out and tells us to do it this way, so we do it that way. And another one comes out and tells us we've got to tear it apart and do it this way. And once I read what you wrote, it's all about the strength of the people. And our people are so freaking weak, it's pathetic." And she said, "When I read what you wrote, and an inspector came out to the farmhouse and got out of his truck, and I just went out the front door and looked at him, and I said, you got 5 minutes to get off my land, or you're going to have four flat tires, and I ain't driving you back to town." I said, "How'd that work out?" "We've never seen another inspector since." Yeah. Exactly. We are the power. They don't have any power. But if you don't put your foot down and say no, then they're just going to keep running over you.
I'll do a repeat on the story that I've we've said years ago, but I went out to buy a beam for a house I was building, a steel I-beam, and the guy was building his house. It was in the country, and he was wearing shorts and a t-shirt and running shoes, and he was framing his house. And I went over to him, and because I was a builder then too, I said, "How are you getting away with that?" And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, you know, the building inspection and safety inspection." And he said, "I just tell them to get off my land."
Exactly.
And I went, "Oh, that's cool. That is really cool. I like that. It's my land. I'll do with it what I want."
But the men have gotten really weak, because all these guys, these contractors and that, are getting tickets because everything's to the corporation, and they've been getting tickets for having a smoke in their truck.
That's right. Well, we talked about that in the past.
Yeah, yes. And I go, "Why do you people put up with this shit?" You know, like when we were building
$300 ticket at the time for having a smoke in your truck while you're on a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, why don't you just tell them to shove off?
Yeah.
Because they don't have any authority over you.
I agree with that. That's, I mean, just say no.
Yeah. Like, when we were doing that commercial building, and this young girl stopped in 2 months later, and we were just about finished, and she said, "I've been driving back and forth here for 2 months. Why don't you stop in and say hi?" "Well, you don't have a building permit." "I don't require a building permit." And I never seen her again. And the same thing when we were putting up a two-story house. I told the guys, I said, "You know, you'd be better off to wear your sneakers when we're putting the trusses up, because you got better traction and better feel in your feet than work boots. And don't wear your helmets because your hard hats, because they're going to be banging off the trusses, and might fall off your head and hit somebody down below. And then one of the guys said, uh-oh. I went, what? Safety inspector's here.
Yeah.
And I just went down and talked to him, and I says, are you in charge of our safety? Is that paper in charge of our safety? No. We're in charge of our safety. And I never, ever saw another safety inspector again. But this is what the people have to understand. You have to learn to say no to these people.
Yep.
And once you say no to them, they don't come back.
If a lot more people would do that, it would work. But the problem is there's only a few of us that do that.
Yeah. Most of them are fearful that they're going to get in trouble.
Exactly.
So they just take their ticket and pay the ticket, which is the revenue streams to the corporation. And, you know, we got to stiffen our people up. Because if we don't stiffen our people up, we're not going to have a nation. And the UN and the WEF and the rest of these clowns are going to control every aspect of your life, which is ridiculous. We can't put up with that.
Well, you know, it is funny because when I did some roofing as well. I mean, I was a general contractor.
Yeah.
So I'd build houses, I'd do roofs, and I always wore running shoes.
Yeah.
Because they were safer.
Exactly.
And I had, you know, them come up, you know, you've got to have steel-toed work boots on. And I said, they're not safe on a roof. I'll slip.
Yeah.
And they relaxed that rule because there was enough contractors came together. This goes back to your point or my point or yours of if enough people get together. But enough contractors came together and said, you know what? When I'm on a roof, I want to wear running shoes.
Exactly.
I don't need steel toes on a roof when I'm doing shingles. And I don't need a hard hat unless a plane's coming down. You know, so, you know, they backed off on that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that actually until a couple weeks ago that they backed off. But yeah, so now they won't come after you for wearing running shoes and not wearing a hard hat.
Because, exactly.
You know, the only thing that can kill you is the airplane that falls out of the sky.
The point being, Chris, is
bird poop.
Yeah, the point is that they don't have any authority over the people.
Yeah.
And most of the people just bow down to it, which is really pathetic.
Yeah.
You know, like
we give them the pushback and yeah, I mean, they're going to say, okay, we don't have control anymore. But, you know, like you do say, and I do agree with you, you do it at a local level, every local level, not just my local level and yours, every local level.
Exactly.
Just say no.
Yeah. Because they don't have the power. And
well, they do have the power until we say no.
No,
well, God, Rothschild's own more money than what's circulating in the whole world right now. So they have the power, but they only have it until we get our numbers up to say, you know what? We're taking that money from you that you stole from us.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Black ops. You know, what do they say? $21 trillion is missing in the United States. And here in Canada, what Trudeau is, well, you know, he's just a puppet for the Jews. But, yeah, he's taking all the money and giving it to foreign countries. That's money laundering. That doesn't go to the people.
No.
It's outright theft. And it's treasonous, high treason. And you know what happens when you're a so-called leader of your country and you're harming your country? You're supposed to be hanged from a rope. Is that going to put me in jail?
I just saw a thing from Helen out in Calgary. I do not consent.
Well, and, yeah. I mean, you know, there's all those terms.
Yeah.
You know, it's, that's correct. I mean, you don't consent. It's saying, no, I don't consent. But if you're a minority, they'll go whatever and they'll put the cuffs on you and take you to jail anyways. But if you become the majority or a powerful entity that understands what real law is, they start to back off.
Yeah,
yeah.
They just completely back off.
Yeah.
Like when I was building this house, our house, and I got consent from my neighbors because I was going to vault the ceiling in the living room, and they were all good with it. But then the building inspector came down and says, "You can't do that." The first one came down and he said, "Yeah, well, that makes sense." And the second one came down and said, "No, the head inspector doesn't like it." Well, they don't know how to build anything. And then I got a stop work order. And when it was handed to me, I just ripped it up and threw it in the ditch and said, "Send down your head and building inspector." And her and a pencil neck came down. And I couldn't believe what she said. She said, "When you raise the ceilings in the whole house, yeah, well, you stole municipal air. What are you, a retard?"
What's that mean?
You know, like, don't come back here again, ever.
Well, that could be cruel. That could be cruel to the birds because the birds might not be paying attention.
But they never came back. And my electrician, who's leaning against the back of the front house, he was in his 70s, and he when I walked the building inspector and the pencil neck out to the road, and I came back, and Kenny just looked at me and he says, "Are we done or do we keep working?" I said, "We keep working." And he just gave me a great big smile, and he said, "I thought that's what you were going to say." Because we're the power, not them, you know. No. But most of the people just bow down to this nonsense, which is unfortunate.
You know, I'm telling homeowners around here that you don't own the land. That's why you pay property tax. If you don't pay your property tax, guess what? But you do own the building at this point, so you still have something. Unfortunately, if they want to take your land, you got to get some big equipment in and pick your house up and move it elsewhere. And they're going to charge your property tax too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they own all the land. You buy you know.
Well, you own the house.
Most people think they bought a lot.
Yeah.
But they don't own it.
Correct.
You know, they pay the money.
You own the building material that you put into the house.
Yeah.
But you don't own the lot that your house is on.
Yeah, and every house is registered to the corporation. And I saw today on CBC that they want to take houses and turn them into triplexes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because the house is registered to the corporation, which means the corporation can make any rule or regulation they want without the consent of the people. And this we have to stop because they don't have any authority over you. They don't have any authority because it's all fraud. And what's Leslie's next court date? I just saw from Robert.
The 25th.
25th?
Yeah. And I can speak freely on this because it's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Not those of Leslie or his wife, but his lawyer is really pissing me off because he hasn't been there for the last three appearances.
Really?
No, he talks to duty counsel for 3 minutes and tells them to adjourn it. And yeah, so I don't know. The 25th, he better show up. Because I told his wife. What?
The lawyers are all liars and deceivers, too.
Yeah, yeah. But
and
I told his wife, they're paying him lots of money per hour.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even, this was supposed to be a relaxation on bail conditions or a revision of bail.
Yeah.
And he had a week and a half, I think, maybe a week. I don't know. He already knew what he had to do and then he doesn't show up. And so they remand it. So now he's in jail for another month. Waiting
It was in March, wasn't it, when he went to jail?
February 14th.
February the 14th, he went to jail.
Yeah.
And he's still in jail, which is absolutely ridiculous. But
yeah. Innocent until proven guilty.
But you gotta deal with these lawyers because when I busted up that bank, I went to see a lawyer because I got a ticket. And the lawyer told me that I was going to do at least 2 years in jail for busting up the bank. And I just told him, no, that's not going to happen. You do as you're told. Because I paid you, that means you are my employee now. And you do as you're told. And when we went to court, I told the lawyer, you say exactly what I tell you to say. And the judge then said, is this what really went down? I said, yep. And he said, I'm not so sure I wouldn't have done the same damn thing. And he says, but I got to give you a fine. I said, well, things are pretty tight right now. And he says, can you afford $100? I said, $100 I can go get you. And then I told the judge, I said, I see no reason that I should be paying restitution to the bank. And the judge said, no, I don't either. And that got the lawyer really messed up. I mean, it really messed him up because he told me I was going to do 2 years in jail. And then I called the bank. And we didn't owe that much money, but I called the bank and talked to the lawyers two or three times. And they finally agreed that they would remove the loan. So problem solved. And it's all about solution. And if you rise above them, they can't do anything. They really don't have the power to do it.
The only problem is, Ron, is you're still working within the criminal legal system.
Well, the legal system is criminal.
Criminal.
Yeah.
It's 100% criminal.
I thought that's
got nothing
I
to do with
said.
Law. And, you know.
I thought I just said that, didn't I? I thought I did.
Well.
You know, you got to, if you don't have a lawyer, you know, I tried to get out on bail one time, and I didn't have an attorney. And then I talked to duty counsel, and that's a joke. They work with the system.
Yeah.
And they said, you're going to do 2 years. So basically what you were, they suggested they were going to do with you. But I was in jail. So I convinced a lawyer to represent me, but he did exactly what they wanted. They threatened me. And duty counsel, I thought, was supposed to be on our side, but they're not.
No, no.
But he, you know, he said, okay, you're going to have to do 90 days. And I said, yeah, that's what they told me. I said, but I have questions. And he went, well, you can't question it because you're going to do 90 days. Other than that, you're going to do 2 years. And I went, oh, isn't that sweet? So, but if I didn't have them, yeah, I would have ended up with 2 years. And it was driving under suspension charge. I didn't harm anybody. You see what I'm saying? We still got to work with these evil characters.
Well, I just tell them what to do. And,
yeah, well,
that works.
Yeah, but you're in an evil system. And,
well, yeah, but when me and Michael Schmidt went to Newmarket to court for the second time about 5 years later, they had a whole bunch of cops inside the door, and they had a you had to walk through a screener, and you had to empty your pockets onto a conveyor belt.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really ignorant. And I went back up to administration in the court and said, where's the police station? They said, right next door. I said, you got a police station in the courthouse? And they went, yeah. And so I went and talked to a guy, the head guy, and he says, let's go to a separate room and we'll talk. And, you know, I just asked him, I says, when we got in the room, I says, you like that, wearing that flak jacket? And he just tore it off and threw it in the corner. He's like, I hate that damn thing. And, I said, yeah. You're going to have to get rid of that one guy, that tall guy, because he's a real pain in the ass. And he said, oh, yeah, he was in the Army, and I think he's got some kind of mental problem. And then he became a cop. And so when we went on break, the head cop called me over, and he said, I got rid of him. And I said, yeah, but you got to bring the rest of the guys down because they're playing that authoritarian bullshit. And he says, yeah, I'll do that. And when we went back the next day, the cops were completely different. They were laughing with the people coming in and talking with them and not being this authoritarian bullshit. And then we were on break, and the head cop called me over, and he says, what do you think? I said, I think that's perfect, right? Because they're not authoritarian idiots, right? They're just talking to the people like they're talking to other people. And he said, I want to thank you for this, because this is a whole lot better than it was. So we're the solution, you know. But we got to get our people woke up so that they understand what the hell's going on. Because the students understand that they have zero future if we allow this to continue. And why would we allow that? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you see, when
power, not them. They have no power.
You see, when they're allowing people that are not from our land to come in and become police officers. I call that an invasion and possibly a war.
It is a war.
Because they get the guns. We don't, they don't want us having any. Who's going to win in that situation? Look at Toronto. Who's the only ones that has guns in Toronto? The niggers? You know? And but if I had one in my house and protected myself against one with a gun, I would go to jail. Think about
hit
that.
That one on the hit that one on the nail.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they want to take all the guns away from all the people who have registered guns.
Yeah, all the legitimate legal owners.
Yeah. And
but then there's still, for some funny reason, all these niggers and turban heads, they got them.
Yeah.
And they're not of our race. They don't like our race.
No.
So if they have all the guns and we have none, what do? Bring in my baseball bat and defend myself against a gun?
Well, that won't work.
No.
But No. I mean, they are absolutely 100% taking our nation down and our people down. And
race.
We have to put our foot down and say, no, you can't do that. And
yeah, they call me a racist for defending my people and my forefathers that built this land.
Yeah.
I'm a racist. So
yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
I'm not allowed to own a firearm, but they got illegals can come in and become police officers.
Yeah.
That are government paid with a golden parachute.
Well.
You know, like, who's going to win? If
Helen just said, Chris is making me smile.
Yeah, well.
There's
well, it's the truth.
Well, it is the truth. And, you know, when I was in high school, we had a gun range in the school, and we were told to become really good marksmen because in case we get invaded or attacked. And that's exactly what's going on now. We are being attacked.
And, you know, I remember you saying that. And you're a little bit older than me, just by about 40 years. Joking. Well, but,
you know,
but I never had that. I never had that. But I do remember that. That used to happen where they would train you to teach for domestic and foreign endangerment.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is a psychological invasion.
Well, and, no, no, it's going, no, it's going to where they get the guns and we're not allowed to have them point.
Well, I really don't think many of the people will hand over their guns.
Well, they got them from Leslie. He had a lot of them. And they even took his wife's guns. And she had nothing to do with it.
No, and they're all registered.
Yep, yep, yep.
So
yep,
they're all legal guns.
The government wants you to do. They did it all the right way.
Yep.
But they took her guns too.
Well, that's ridiculous.
She would go to the range. She had guns for protect.
She well, must be
I,
really
I think I mentioned that. She
must be really ticked off that Leslie's been in jail since February.
Yeah, but what's she gonna do? You know, like
well,
they got him. They got him hogtied, and she's only one woman.
They don't
woman.
Have the right to do it.
No, they don't. No, they don't. He didn't cause any harm.
He didn't cause anybody any harm.
But the point is they took her guns as well, and she said, "You know, I want my guns back." And they nope.
Well.
So she slept in her clothes for a week, not knowing when somebody was going to kick her door in again and with no protection. You see how that works?
Yep. But they don't have the right to do that, except that your house is registered to the corporation and the police protect the corporations. And that means the police can come and kick your door down anytime they want.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
No,
and
they
didn't
can do
cause
it
anybody
they
any
can
harm.
Do it to me. You know?
Yeah, they just target people. And, same thing as when I ran in 2018, I got arrested. And then when I went to court, both the Crown and the judge said, we can't find any evidence anywhere that you assaulted anybody. Well, I didn't. But they know I know, so they don't want me running. Simple as that. And so they just threw it out. But,
Can you imagine that you and I are not as white European blood born Canadians from our forefathers that built this land?
Yeah.
Are not allowed to have guns, but everyone else is.
Yeah.
They call them illegal, but they don't seem to go after them too much. But then you put cops that were not born here, hate our race, and they give them guns. What are we going to do when they got all the guns and we don't? And I think I'm maybe somewhat of a repeat, but can you see the obvious?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's
the destruction of the white race.
Yes, they want everybody locked down, And if you speak up, you might get shot.
Mm-hmm.
And, but they don't give a damn. And it was our forefathers that built everything, and us. And we keep bowing down to this so-called corporation that doesn't have any. I mean, the legal system is 100% fraud. They turned us into legal fictional persons, which is fantasy world, and took away being men and women in law. And they don't have that authority. They absolutely do not have that authority. But they convince most people that they have the authority. And
well, can you imagine what would happen or what may happen if we don't smarten up quick?
Mm-hmm.
When we've got all these mongrels taking over our country with guns and we don't have any. Yeah. I mean, that is a major question in my opinion.
Well, that just shows you that the so-called corporation doesn't give a damn about our people or our nation.
No.
And they're handing it all over to these
hilarious land. That's why
they don't have any right to do without our consent.
No, Ron. That's the Kalergi plan. It's the white race they want to get rid of because we are their biggest opposition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why this is being allowed to happen. And you know, people are starting to understand it and go, wait a minute. You know, if it's not through intermarriage, well, they're going to give these illegal immigrants. Oh, crap. I got a truck pulling in. Sorry. They got these illegal immigrants. They're gonna start handing them guns, but they're telling us we're not allowed to have them.
Yeah. I mean, it really irritates me, Chris, that the police are carrying the luggage of the illegals across the border. They created
doing that down in Mexico. They got 14,000 down there or something?
Yeah.
Border control officers that are carrying their luggage. We did that on Hampton Road, didn't we?
Yeah.
With our RCMP carrying their luggage and taking them to their hotel room and then giving them really sweet checks.
Well, this is ridiculous. I mean, they carry the luggage of the illegals across the border. Then they're housed and then they're fed. And more of our people can't feed themselves and they're living in tents.
Yes.
Makes absolutely zero sense. And we gotta fix it. Because we all have a duty to fix it. And it's not difficult to fix, but we just got to bring our people together and put our foot down and say, this isn't going to happen. And we're the power, not them. But we got to get our people woke up, because most of the people were indoctrinated in school. And they're fearful, and they don't want to get in trouble, and they don't know how to stand up. And we have to.
Well, that's why you do what you do, Ron, and that's why the one thing I do appreciate. We've had our differences. We won't get into it. but that's it. We've got to wake more people up to understand what's going on. And you do a good job. You just got to move things around a little bit sometimes. But anyways, you do a good job, and that's important. To just make people understand.
Well, I'm really glad that I got to Kingston and met you and your son.
Yeah, my son's here right now.
Because you're a good man, and your son's a good man, and we just have to bring more of our people together.
Mm-hmm.
So that they understand what's going on, because most of them don't understand what's going on. And it's just like that, you know, it's just like they killed those guys in Mexico who went out to talk to the corporation. And eventually the corporation, they threw everybody out of the town.
Yeah.
The same thing with up at Hudson's Bay. When I talked to that chief, two or three or four of the guys said no, and they got thrown in jail. But eventually the whole community came together and put their foot down and said, no, we did not consent to you putting a mine in our district. Well, the government said we could, corporation. But we didn't consent to it, so shove off. And
well,
that's really
that,
all it needs to be.
They did
done.
That in 1946 in the States.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with the community there. They just told the government to shut off. Their shove off.
Like
they,
that guy down
in
Florida.
Yeah, there was bullets fired that time.
Yeah. It's just about putting your foot down and saying, no, you're not doing this. You don't have any authority over us. Just like our forefathers told the Hudson's Bay Company, you don't have any authority over us. Shove off. And, we're the power, not them. They're just screwing people over, and which is against the law. We have to bring our communities together, wake them up, so they understand what's going on, and that their children and grandchildren have no future whatsoever. And do you want your child and your grandchild to be screwed over forever? No. So, you know, like I talk to a lot of the older people. And some of them now understand, finally, that we don't have a government. It's just a corporation. And when I'm talking to them, they're the ones that spit it out. They go, we don't have a government. It's a corporation. And they just do whatever the hell they do without our consent. And they're getting pissed off. And that's a good thing.
Well, so, that's why the Jews are bringing in the aliens. I'm gonna say something real quick here, if I can.
Yeah.
Because you're almost out of time.
Yeah.
But you know, a white society cannot survive as a hated minority in the same nation as hostile aliens who seek to eradicate our people, and that's what's going on.
Exactly.
We need white homelands, the ones that built for our children. We need to stop the white genocide.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. That, you know, that's what we got to do. We're 8% of the world population, at this point, and it's going down.
Yeah, it's going down fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're killing off our people.
Yep.
And we can't allow that to continue. But, you know, all of these illegals that are coming into the country, they have a duty to stand ground on their nation, but their nations are being taken down, and then
they're going to take ours down.
Coming here when they should be looking after their own nation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's and, what I always
so
say.
We have
Ron.
A duty to look after our nation.
I got that from you.
No.
You know what? What you're having a problem with your nation? Well, don't run away. Fix it.
Exactly. But they're offering them to come here. Right?
Yeah. Well, you know why.
Clarity. Yeah, exactly. We have the power, and we can just put our foot down and say no. And that's a good thing. But I think we're at the end of the show now. I want to thank you so much for coming in, Chris. That was a really good chat.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I appreciate it. And hopefully I can get down to Kingston here, not too far in the future. So, everybody take care. Have a great day.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to my thoughts.